Blog Talk Radio.
March 22nd edition of Real American Man on Blog Talk Radio. This morning, we're going to be talking about how to live your worst life best. You know, the pains of life are not easy to cope with. They are not easy to deal with. I think of a lot of the problems that we have in society today is this expectancy of goodness, that somehow that nothing should come in our way, no harm should come to us, pain should just not happen, and when it does, we want to point the finger at God and we want to think that it's all His fault, and pain is a difficult thing to deal with. But the point of the title, how to live your worst life best, what am I getting at there? You know, there's a lot of talk out there about how to live your best life, how to have your best life. And, you know, the reality of it is that I think that when we focus on, oh, well, we need to have a wonderful rose-filled life and look at life through rose-colored glasses, I think that we miss the point. You know, you don't end up having flowers or grass or green grass or anything like that without the rain. And I know that maybe that's a corny sentiment, but the reality of it is that we do have to have pain and suffering in order to have growth in our life. You know, I think of the book of Job, and I think of how angry Job was. Well, I say angry. I suppose he wasn't. He was upset. If we look at Job chapter 2, Job chapter 3, verse 1, and it talks about Job groaning about the day of his birth. He curses the day of his birth. He says in verse 3, "Let the day perish on which I was born, and the night that said a man is conceived, let that day be darkness. May God above not seek it, nor light shine upon it. Let gloom and deep darkness claim it. Let clouds dwell upon it. Let the blackness of the day terrify it. That night, let thick darkness seize it. Let it not rejoice among the days of the year. Let it not come into the number of the months." And he just goes on to say further in about another 15 different ways of how he wishes that he was never born. I don't know about you, but that's certainly something that that I think that comes across our minds every now and then. You know, what exactly is my purpose? What exactly is the point? Here Job has lost everything near and dear to his heart. I'm sure that most of you know the backstory of Job, but if you don't, you know, Satan has come to God and said, well, you know, of course, this man, Job, is upright. Of course he's honorable. Of course he loves you, because look at all that he has. But if we take away these things that he loves and that he holds dear, we will see how much he actually loves you, God, and he will curse you. And God says, well, you can't touch him, but feel free basically to deal with the things that are around Job. And so Satan does that very thing, and he loses everything near and dear to him. And he goes through a lot of pain and suffering, and he has to deal with a lot. His friends are not supportive. He's told, curse God and die. Just by people that he loves. It's just not, there's just not a whole lot there for him to have support from. But I think that if we look at it and we realize that not a single one of us are free from some sort of pain and suffering. And I think perspective is obviously important. perspective is a very important thing whenever it comes to this. We have to have the perspective to understand that we are not, we don't need to always connect it with necessarily our specific sin. You know, we live in this world together, and from Adam and Eve and their sin and their failure, which we would have all done, from that failure, we are in the situation that we are in now. And sin has inundated this world. It has completely filled it. And the results of that sin are seen every single day. Every day. And if you think about, you know, which way did God intend for this world to be? And maybe, you know, because we have to think about free will and, you know, and the ability for us to be able to make our own decisions whenever it comes to whether or not we really should be blaming God for everything that's happening in this world, because he does allow free will. He does allow decision-making. And whenever we choose the choices that we make, take David, for example. In the Old Testament, he chose to stay back whenever he should have been in battle. And because of that decision, he ended up looking on a rooftop, and he made that choice. And he chose to lust after Bathsheba. And he chose to go and get Uriah the Hittite, the husband of Bathsheba, and put him into an impossible situation and have him murdered. He made that choice. And there were consequences for that action. But we live in a sinful world. Just in a broad overview, we live in a sinful world. People ask, you know, well, okay, that's fine. You know, David had consequences because he got Uriah the Hittite murdered after he was sleeping with Uriah's wife. Okay, yeah, I get why he got punished, but why is this child getting punished? Why does this child have cancer? Why has this child been born with this incurable illness? Why does this happen, you know, to these people? Why, I don't understand these, where there's not seemingly a good reason why this is happening. Well, you know, it's the reality of it is that the whole world is full of sin. The whole world. And so, yes, things happen to people that it may not necessarily look as though that they deserve it, and they don't. You know, maybe they don't deserve it in that sense. But it's not about deserving or not deserving whenever it comes to the consequences of sin. The consequences of sin affect every single one of us. Every one of us in different ways, but it affects every one of us. So that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. That was a little bit of a long introduction. But I want to let you know that guest call-in number is 323-642-1089. Guest call-in number is 323-642-1089. Question of the day is, let me know some experiences that you personally have been through in your life where difficult situations where you have learned how to live your worst life best. Because that's what we got to be doing. We've got to realize that, hey, we may have, in all aspects of the world, we may have the worst life. I doubt we have the worst of anyone, but we just need to figure out how to live that life best, whether it's our worst life, the best life, whether everything's going right, whether we're on the mountaintop or whether we're in the valley. We've got to learn how to live whatever life that we've got to the best of our ability. So let me know how you're doing that out there. With whatever has been thrown your way, whatever you have created yourself maybe, or things that were not in your control, and just how you're dealing with that. Once again, guest calling number is 323-642-1089. This is a Sunday morning edition, March 22nd, 2015. It is now 7:09 a.m. Central Time. We do appreciate you listening to the show. I hope to have some live listeners today. I will be giving a time at the end of the show, about the last 15 minutes of the show, specific for call-in, but we haven't had a call-in yet, so if you want to call in, please feel free to do so. Would love to hear from you. this is something that I want to be doing on a weekly basis, a Sunday morning Bible study. It's something that that I want to make sure to incorporate into the radio show. Obviously, the broad overview topic of this show, Real American Man, is directed towards men. And so I want to have the Bible studies to be, in that direction where it's specific towards men. But please feel free to call in, no matter. Would love to hear from you, just to get some experiences, just to hear some stories. Would love to be able to do that this morning. Guest call in number 323-642-1089. Before we get started this morning, I want to go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. And so I hope that you're joining us this morning, Sunday morning, and getting ready for church, I'm assuming, this morning, and getting up and getting around. And I hope you're having a good cup of coffee with me this morning. And so let's go ahead and get started with a word of prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for your many blessings. You certainly do deliver us from evil, Lord. You give us more blessings than what we deserve. We thank you, Lord, for the perspective of our life, to be able to take a step back, Lord, and realize that we could have it, we absolutely could have it worse. And we could, Lord, certainly look at life in a lot of different ways. But, Lord, help us this morning to realize that we have to have our best life, no matter what the conditions of our life consist of, Lord, whether we have money rolling out of our ears, or we are struggling to get by, whether our health is impeccable or whether our health is deteriorating. Lord, help us to learn to praise you, to give glory to you, no matter what situation that we are in. For God, we need to understand that you have given us all the tools necessary, Lord. You have certainly set us up for success, but sin in this world has brought us down. But, Lord, we need to realize that it's not about this life. It's not about what we, as far as it, this life is not what matters. We need to think about what we do in this life. We certainly need to give glory to you, give honor to you. But as far as, just recognizing that it's not over with. It's not over with. We still have a better life awaiting all of us, where there will be no pain, no sorrow, no tears. All of our tears will be washed away. And, Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you for the promises that you give us in your word. And, Lord, I pray now that as we go into this lesson this morning, that you would just convict our hearts. Lord, if anyone is listening this morning and they do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, may they feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit. May they realize, Lord, that you love them, that you care for them, that they need to ask forgiveness of their sins, recognize you as Lord of their life, believe in you, and, Lord, not just believe in you, but ask you to be captain in their life, to lead them, to guide them, and direct them. Lord, may they make that decision this morning. I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, once again, this is a Sunday morning edition, March 22nd, 2015, for Real American Man on Blog Talk Radio. We're talking about this morning how to live your worst life best. So once again, what's the point of that title? Well, I hear a lot of times, of course, you got the, trying to think of the name of them, drawing a blank on on what they're called, but the preachers on TV, the televangelists, the ones that like to let you know that if you send them a few dollars here, a few dollars there, half your paycheck, that that God's going to bless you and you're going to receive a blessing tenfold and all this kind of good stuff. And they preach this, oh, there we go, they preach this prosperity gospel. That's the word I was looking for. So they preach a prosperity gospel to the point that it just becomes a little bit ridiculous. It's just a little bit ridiculous to think that that the point, it almost makes it like the point of the gospel, the point of the word of God, the point of Christianity is to just have this wonderful life. And if you send in your money to these preachers and all that, they're going to pray over you. And you know what? And then you're going to have no illnesses. You're going to have no pains. You're going to have no suffering. I think another thing that we do that really seems to irritate the situation is whenever we will sit there and say that we're believing in God to do a specific thing, right? And what I mean is that whenever we are in a situation in our life, let's say that we have lost a job and we applied for a new job. Well, I think it's really bad on our parts to say, I'm going to pray to God and that I get that job. Well, once again, talking about free will and making choices and why do we end up in the problems that we end up in, and then we say, I prayed about that. I don't understand why I'm where I'm at because I prayed about that, and yet here I am, and it didn't go well, and I don't understand how I ended up with that job if that wasn't what God wanted for me. Why did he open the door for that? Well, God's going to allow us to make decisions, both good and bad. Let's take a step back and think about this for an example. Someone that is causes an aggravated assault on someone. They go and they start punching someone to no end, nearly cause them to lose their lives, right? So they've made that decision, and maybe it was over something silly. I mean, we're talking about today's world, where people are punching each other and nearly killing one another because of Facebook posts. Actually, well, I shouldn't say nearly killing. They're killing one another because of Facebook posts. So it's not too much of a hypothetical there. It could pretty much be a real story. But is that God's will? Why did God allow that to happen? Whenever the hurricanes came into New Orleans, there were preachers that tried to suggest that God caused that or somehow that had to do with God because of the sin of New Orleans. Now, how do you explain that? Because I'm sorry, but I'm not about to sit here and try to say that New Orleans has got more sin than I do. Now, maybe that's throwing myself under the bus or something, because my goodness, how much sin could the city of New Orleans possibly have? But seriously, I mean, there is not a reasonable explanation for just, it's like we basically use it to our advantage. Whenever we have a job and we think, oh, yeah, I really like that job. And, all right, God, Lord Jesus, I pray that you allow me to have this job. May this door. Just ask for the will of God to happen. How much of a challenge is that? That to say, no matter how bad you may want that job, no matter how bad you may want a specific circumstance to happen, to just humble ourselves and to just simply say, God, I want your will to be done. And if that means that I don't get this job, then that's what I want, God. That's what I want. And I think if we look at it in that perspective, I think it would change things. I think that realizing whenever we get into health situations, I have had a few of them myself, that to just take a step back and just to say, God, I just want your will to be done. I want you to get glory in my life. And, Lord, I certainly would love to be healed from this illness, from what I'm going through. But, Lord, I just want you to get the glory. I just want you to get all the honor and glory. I praise you. I love you. And just remain faithful to the Word of God. Just remain faithful to Him. Because is it about that? Is our love connected to our status? And I think that sometimes it is. I think that sometimes we look at it like, if I'm doing good, then I love God. If I'm not doing good, then I'm not so sure. Well, how shallow is that? How shallow is that? If I was to be getting paid to be someone's friend, and then they found out that the only reason why I was their friend is because they were paying me to do it. How good of a friend would that be, you think? I would assume until the money stops. If they've already accepted an offer, like, okay, I guess I'll hang out with that guy. But it's $20 a month, and you better pay it on time. And then they don't pay it on time. Would I still hang out with them? I don't know. Obviously, I'm not doing that with anyone, so it's not an issue, but If that was the agreement, I don't really want to hang out with this person, but somebody wants to pay me for it, wouldn't even want to accept an offer like that. Why? Because it doesn't even make any sense, right? I mean, what do you mean? You can't pay me to be someone's friend. You can't pay yourself. You can't be paid to be a true follower of Christ. If you really love God, if you truly love and appreciate what Jesus Christ did on the cross for you, it should not be connected to our status. God's love for us certainly wasn't connected to his status. Jesus Christ knew from his birth, from before the point that he came down to this earth, that he was going to have to, where he was going to have to end up, what the end result was going to have to be of his life. He wasn't going to get to live a long, bountiful life. He certainly could have risen to the throne, I think, and became king. I think that he had that kind of a following. But he didn't do that. And whenever he was hanging on that cross, I'm pretty sure that the disciples were wondering exactly what was going on. But let's look at it from another perspective. Christ is hanging on the cross for us. But it didn't change his love. It did not change his love. It did not change the way that he loved us. Think about whenever Jesus was standing there before the crowd that just, you know, not so long ago, sat there and said, that just got finished saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, to him, right? Praising him, calling him king, laying down palm leaves as he rode in like a king, but on a donkey, right? What was that all about? That they go from that to now, here at when he's getting crucified, now they're saying, crucify him, crucify him. They even trade him out for a horrible man, right? For a old Barabbas. Horrible person. Long list of wrongdoings. And what do? They say, oh, release Barabbas. Yeah, we want Jesus to be crucified. And, you know, Jesus could have stopped it right then and there. I don't know if there was a part of the plans or not, you know, talking about free will and all that. I don't know if Barabbas was a part of the plan or not. I don't know. I guess God ultimately gets what he wants in the end result. Well, the end result was for Jesus to go to the cross and then to rise again on the third day. Well, if there was the case, then was Barabbas, did he have to be a part of the equation? I don't know. But what I do know is that Barabbas was a horrible, horrible man. But here you've got Jesus standing there, and all he's doing is just convicting these people. That's all that's going on in their hearts, is that they're convicted of their sin. And I just wonder if whenever they said, still, crucify him, crucify him, release Barabbas, yeah, let him go. Man, I tell you what, I don't know how in the world Jesus remained true to his mission in that moment. Because I would have wanted to say, whoa, hold up now. I didn't know this right here was going to happen. I'm done. I'm through. You people are crazy. I mean, I knew what was going to happen, but you're going to let this guy go? No, y'all done lost y'all's mind. I'm out of here. I would have at least wanted to say that, but Jesus remains true. He remains committed to the mission, and why? Why does he remain committed to the mission? Every lash upon his back with a cat of nine tails, when he got the robe put over his back and ripped off again like a Band-Aid, when he got the crown of thorns put on his head and people were mocking him and spitting at him and he had to carry the cross, all of that, when all of that was going on, all of that, he could have stopped it at any time, but he didn't. His status did not matter during any point of that entire ordeal. Did his status matter? Think about how he entered the world. Think about it. As a babe, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. Right? Next to horses and cows and donkeys and sheep. That's where our King of Kings, Lord of Lords was born at. Do you think he had to have been born there? I don't think so. He didn't have to be born there. I mean, he had to be born in the location that he was born in as far as the city. For prophecy reasons. But did he have to be born in a manger? I mean, it did say that we would reject him. Maybe it was a part of it. But all I'm saying is that that's how he came in. So his status has never changed, has never been correlated with how much he's committed to the mission of saving the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's John 3:16. We all know it, right? We all know it. What are we doing in our life? Who are we blaming all of this on? We need to learn how to live our worst life best. Perspective. Perspective, perspective, perspective. That's what it's all got to do with. We've got to have a proper perspective to understand that it is not always about what we can get out of this life. We need to understand that what is important is what we're going to get out of the next life. That's what's important. What are we going to get out of the next life? What is going to be able to be there for us in the next life? Are we going to be spending an eternity without God or an eternity with God? That's on you. That's on me. That's a personal decision that we have to make. But it doesn't need to be, if it's connected to our status. Well, today I'm doing all right, so yeah, I'm committed to God. But tomorrow, not so well, so I don't know. I don't know if I'm committed to God or not. It can't be connected to status. That doesn't show our commitment, or it doesn't show a good commitment level to God. So we're going to keep talking about this here on the show today. I've got some more scripture to share with us. We're going to be having a little break here. We've got just over 18 minutes left on the show. Guest call-in number is 323-642-1089. Once again, guest call-in number is 323-642-1089. I would love to hear some of your personal stories, if you'd be willing to share them with me over the air, of ways that you have had to deal with the pains of life, no matter what they may be, and how you have had to deal with that, and how you have dealt with it. We'd love to pray for you. We'd love to hear your stories. So once again, guest calling number, 323-642-1089. Guest calling number is 323-642-1089. We'll come back at the 15-minute mark, and when we do, if we've got any guest calling, then we'll be answering and taking those calls. If we don't, then we'll continue on until the end of the show with some other scriptures, and I'll give you my own personal story. So once again, we'd love to hear from you. Let me know that you're listening out there. Guest calling number is 323-642-1089. Thank you. You're listening to Real American Man on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you. still on with you. This is Real American Man, Blog Talk Radio. Today's show, How to Live Your Worst Life Best. This is the guest call-in time. So guest call-in number is 323-642-1089. Once again, guest call-in number is 323-642-1089. I certainly was hoping to have a little bit more meat to the show this morning. You know, one of the things that we're trying to do long-term is to be able to actually have a guest caller's own that I have planned and scheduled to add a little bit more to the show. But I do want to do a 45-minute show on Sunday mornings to allow an opportunity for people to call in to ask questions. I've also got to be very, very careful, and I know I mentioned this a few weeks ago, about copyright issues. It's not as simple whenever you're on a radio show to just give a quote, give a statistic without having a lot of copyright notices and all that. So that's something that I'm trying to figure out exactly how to do. So for right now, and I do apologize, but I'm very limited on what I can share with you guys. Obviously, if you call in, you know, you're a guest, you're more than welcome to share whatever you want to share, and I would love to hear some experiences from you. But there's only so much that I can share as far as from others. There's great, great stories out there on the web that you can read about people that have overcome great obstacles. But it's not as easy as, for me, as just going to Google, searching that, getting these stories, putting them together, and then like sharing them with you on the air. I can't do that without a lot of copyright notices and permissions and all that other kind of stuff. I'm trying to get in touch with some local radio broadcast people to find out exactly the ins and outs of that. But for right now, I'm just trying to be as careful as I possibly can with it. So I hope that part is going to get better, and I'm sure that it will. You know, this is still just we're just, I think, five shows in on this radio show. So I do appreciate you listening in. I do know that I've got listeners. Don't know if I've got any live listeners this morning, but I know I've had listeners, and I'm able to look at the statistics for that, and that's great. I appreciate you listening. I appreciate you hanging there with me with the show. There are several things that we will be going over for this next week. On Tuesday, we'll be doing a Tuesday Veteran Hour. I hope to do that as a weekly show. As I've mentioned before, I am a veteran. I was in the United States Air Force for nearly 7 years, honorable discharge, of course, and just really thoroughly enjoyed my time in the military. But now as a veteran, there are experiences that are obviously different. Coming out in the civilian world has been a challenging experience. And please don't think that you have to wait to call in until I stop talking. I'm just trying to make sure that I fill the show here. I don't want it just to be dead silence while I wait on the phone call. So guest call-in number is 323-642-1089. Guest call-in 323-642-1089. But I'm just going to keep talking. If you call in, I'll see it, and I'll answer the call. So I would still love to hear from you. But like I say, I am a veteran, and, you know, there's just different experiences up from the civilian side from whenever you're a veteran. So if you are a veteran, or if you just want to hear about veteran issues, feel free to listen in on Tuesday to the Veteran Hour, and we'll be doing that at 7 p.m. Once again, that's going to be at 7 p.m. Central Time on Tuesday. On Thursday, we'll be doing a Dudes Morning Show is what it's going to be called. And so the Dudes Morning Show is just going to be one of our episodes that's going to be geared directly towards men in particular, so specific issues related to men. So we'll be talking about that. We'll be speaking about marriage, addictions. We'll be speaking about health, relationship with Christ, work ethic, our social life in and out of church, at work, fathering and parenting. Co-parenting, realizing the role that we play in parenting our children, determination in parenting, marriage, we'll be speaking about intimacy and finances, dating our wife, such an important thing, and then also we'll as well speak to singles and issues that singles deal with, such as abstinence and dating, and how to be a single man in today's world. And so those are things that we'll be discussing on the Dudes Morning Show. And would love to hear from you during that hour as well. Would love to hear from you. If you're wondering about times and all that other kind of stuff, I am putting these on a schedule now, so you can get on Blog Talk Radio /Real American Man, and you can hear this. You can read on the schedule of when these shows are going to be. You also can follow us on Facebook.com/Real American Man. Once again, Facebook.com/Real American Man. You can also visit us at our website at realamericanman.org. Once again, realamericanman.org. So we've been talking about this morning, and it's so easy to for the time to pass. It happens so quickly. I don't want these shows to be excessively long, and trying to find the right time frame for these shows has been a challenge because, like I say, I don't want it to be so long that it's just impossible for you to listen to. But it's difficult to spurt out everything that you want to talk about in just 15 minutes, even 30 minutes if you want to have an opportunity for guests to call in. And then, of course, whenever you get to the last 15 minutes when you do a 45-minute show and you don't have any call-ins, and maybe that's the time, maybe that's the scheduling. I only had this advertised for just, I think I put it out there yesterday during the middle of the day, early morning. I put out this show being on the air. So, I know I've got to do a better job with that, and so that's definitely on me. Here we are, 8 minutes left in the show, and without a guest call in, then I don't want to just keep talking in circles. So let me share with you Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, verse 1. It says, "I am speaking the truth in Christ." This is, of course, Paul speaking to the church at Rome. "I am not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen according to the flesh." And then it says, "They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from their race according to the flesh is the Christ, who is God over all, blessed forever. Amen." And so here we see Paul talking to the church at Rome, and he's discussing basically God's sovereign choice. He recognizes that the fellow Jewish people that he knows, right? That they are the sovereign choice of God, that they are the chosen people. And Paul is in anguish for them. And, Jesus was as well, to realize that all of these people, they know the Word of God for the Old Testament, the Torah. And yet they miss completely. They miss it. They do not acknowledge Jesus as God's Son. They do not acknowledge him as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as the Messiah. They are still looking for that man. And Paul is in anguish, it says, because of that. And let me share with you this morning that absolutely 100% Jesus Christ has changed my life. He has completely changed my life. And I accepted Christ whenever I was 9 years old. I waited to get baptized until I was 13. And that was simply just because I didn't grow up in church. And between the ages of 9 and 13, I was not in church on a regular basis. My parents didn't go to church during that time from 9 to 13 until I got baptized. So I didn't have church to go to even get baptized. And I didn't fully understand baptism at 9 years old. I did understand salvation to the point of what the Holy Spirit was convicting me that I needed to turn over lordship of my life to Jesus Christ, that I needed to recognize that this life was not something that I could handle on my own. You know, a lot of people say that Christianity is a crutch. I don't really have a problem with someone saying that, to be quite honest, because you know what the reality of it is? The reality of it is that do I lean on Jesus Christ? You better believe it. He is the foundation of my life. And you will never go wrong with Jesus Christ as your foundation.
I want to encourage you with that this morning. I also want to share with you that, you know, I haven't had, thank God, I've not had any life-altering illnesses necessarily that have been in my life. But I certainly have had experiences where I've had job loss with a family. I have had experiences where I have been treated badly by fellow believers. Imagine that. I have had experiences of health issues. I have had instances where I was concerned that something major was going on. In 2011, I had received, unfortunately, through means of eating, a parasite whenever I was stationed in a undisclosed location in the Middle East. Had some food there, and it did not work out very well. And they thought that I had gallstones. I was having a lot of stomach pains, and I was in a lot of torturous pain. And come to find out, I had this parasite, and they were about ready to remove my gallbladder because they thought that's what was wrong. They did an ultrasound sonogram to look at my gallbladder, and they saw, nope, your gallbladder is as clear as can be, so that's not what's going on. And they started looking further, and they found out that I had a parasite. And I went from 140-50 pounds all the way down to 110 pounds in a matter of months. It was 2 or 3 months that I lost all that weight. That is not the way to lose weight, in case you're wondering. That is not the healthy way to lose weight. It was a miserable experience. I will never forget that time. I hope and pray that I never have to go through that again, and I would not wish that on anyone at all. It was just a very horrible experience. But up until the time that they figured out what was going on, for sure, it was a scary time. I mean, losing all that weight, I really enjoy food. It's kind of a curse in some ways. Because I do want to care about my health and my fitness, because my body is the temple of God, and I'm working on that, and I'm trying to get better at that. But the point that I'm trying to make is that whenever I was going through those experiences with my weight, one of the issues, obviously, losing that much weight, one of the problems was that I had a lack of appetite. I just was not able to eat, and anything that I ate just didn't stay with me. And so that was really, really hard because of how much I enjoy food. I mean, I had to be on, a brat diet. So I was pretty much the only thing I could have was bananas, rice, apples, and toast. And it was just bad. It was really, really bad. And I wasn't sure what was going on. I seriously thought that. All I could think was, okay, if I keep losing, 30 pounds every 2 months, there isn't going to be much left of me in about 6 months. So I was very hopeful that they were going to figure out what was wrong, but they did, and I thank God for that. But I just wanted to share that with you, and that was a hard time, and all I could do was just pray. That's all that I could do, was just pray to God. But we've just got a little over a minute left on the show. I really do appreciate you listening in this morning. If you're listening in live, I sure do appreciate it. I hope that you weren't too shy to call in. I would have loved to have heard from you. But if you're listening to an archive version of this show, I do apologize for all of the notifications of the guest call-in number and that we didn't have any guest call-in. Like I say, I'm going to be trying to schedule that in the future. So we've got 30 seconds left. Once again, I do appreciate you listening. This is Real American Man on Blog Talk Radio.